From the KPIX 5 newsroom, this is Bay Area Nightbeat on KBCW.
Now on Nightbeat, Dub Nation out in full force tonight for the Warriors home opener. But tonight's game is bittersweet for some fans. Hello and welcome. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz.
And I'm Ken Bassi. Let's get right over to Nightbeat's Kristen Ayers, who is live at Oracle Arena tonight. Kristen?
Yeah, guys, it is the beginning of the end for the Warriors at Oracle Arena, the final home opener at this stadium. And for fans, as you said, it is bittersweet. Fans telling me they are soaking up all the noise, all the nostalgia before the team moves back next season to San Francisco.
This crowd is special. This arena is special.
Antoinette Bryant is what you'd call a diehard Warriors fan.
If the Dubs are playing, I'm there.
Even though the San Francisco native now lives on the East Coast.
I come home every home opener for the last 5 years.
This home opener is different. It's the last time the Warriors will open at Oracle Arena.
I'm very sad about it. I'm a San Francisco native, but I hate that they're moving.
For a city that has cheered the team through a dry spell 4 decades long and lifted them to 3 championships in the last 4 years, tonight's game is bittersweet. Some fans worry that once the team moves to the Chase Center across the bay in San Francisco, ticket prices will also move out of reach.
And the folks that come here, we're all blue-collar workers, you know.
Ticket marketplace StubHub found that demand for Warriors tickets this season is only growing stronger with the impending move, and that could mean prices next season will soar even higher.
We've seen a sizable uptick in demand even versus last year. And, you know, heading into Chase Center next year, it's only going to increase from there, would be our guess.
But that won't stop Antoinette.
I renewed my tickets, you know. I just don't know that everybody will.
Are you going to renew your tickets over at Chase for next season?
She doesn't know. Yes. Thanks.
Did I just ruin the surprise?
Yeah.
Thanks, honey.
That's a pretty good surprise, huh?
Yes, I can't believe it.
Totally killed that surprise for them. The team has actually said that they're not just inspired to win this championship this season because of the prospect of a three-peat. They also just want to do it for the fans and do it for Oakland. Ken?
Yeah, Kristen, just wondering if you've heard anything about what's going to happen to the facility. And they use it for concerts and things like that. Any idea? Is it going to stay? Is it going to go?
You know, my understanding is that they'll continue to use it as an event facility. But this is a huge area. And as you know, over the years, there have been many plans about what to do with this complex. So that certainly leaves it open. And I think we'll be keeping an eye on that as we go forward, Ken.
All right. Kristen Ayers reporting live from the Oracle Arena. Thank you, Kristen. Dennis O'Donnell is also live at Oracle. He'll have some highlights on the game a little later on in sports.
Tonight, we have new details on a plane crash in Livermore. The aircraft was registered to a company called Valiant Effort in Cupertino. Chopper 5 showing the World War II era plane that crashed into a fence at the Livermore Municipal Airport. It veered off the runway while the pilot was practicing touch and goes. The pilot is okay.
Well, it's going to be a long night for the Dublin City Council. Officials have spent hours considering plans to build a new IKEA. The contentious proposal would build that megastore on a vacant lot right off of 580. And council members are still listening to people on both sides of the aisle. Nightbeat's Andrea Borba has been attending that meeting and is live from City Hall. Andrea?
Well, Ken, the meeting is far from over at this point, and the council is nowhere close to a decision. Now, take a listen to what was happening in the meeting itself earlier.
Another software package was used, but understanding, again, this is just visual purpose.
Now, the IKEA itself would be a 317,000-square-foot store, the anchor at the Glen at Dublin. A representative for IKEA says the Dublin and the Tri-Valley area is a goal and an ideal location for their store. They own that property. And that the home furnishing store would bring in $120 million a year in tax revenue into Alameda County. But there is a very vocal group in Dublin who is fervently opposed to the store.
I think that what we've seen as far as tax revenue that IKEA has proposed, saying that this is what will be generated, is not accurate. We haven't seen anything as far as what costs would be into those revenues. not only our resources like police and fire going to emergency calls or traffic accidents, but also with other stores, local businesses here, what would they lose in revenue, which would be lost taxes for our city.
Now, one of the other concerns is the traffic in Dublin and the entire Tri-Valley area. This is the proposed site as seen from Sky Drone 5, which is right off of 580 at the Hacienda exit. Folks in Dublin say traffic on 580 and 680 and those surface streets is bad enough and doesn't need any additional cars. Now, we are still waiting for a decision from the City Council. Right now here in Dublin, we will bring that to you as soon as we have it. Ken?
All right. Andrea Borba reporting live. Thank you, Andrea.
A grand jury has indicted the man accused of stabbing a woman to death at a BART station. John Lee Cowell is charged with murder along with a special circumstance for lying in wait. 18-year-old Nia Wilson and her sister were stabbed in July on the platform of the MacArthur station in Oakland. Nia died, but her sister survived. Her family is now suing BART, claiming the agency failed to protect them. Cowell is expected in court on November 27th.
For the first time tonight, we are hearing from the man who claims his landlord tried to kill him. Timothy Loving says that it was like any other day when he arrived at his Berkeley home back in June, and that is where 75-year-old landlord Herman Little was waiting for him. Timothy says that Little shot him in his chest and hand. He then ran inside to call police.
And he said you were thinking to yourself, I'm not going to die in this apartment.
I'm not going to die in this apartment. He's not going to get away with it, is my mind. Like, if I die, they're going to know who did it. If I die in this apartment, who's going to ever believe what happened?
Now, Timothy was able to drag himself across the street to a local cannabis club and got some help. Police arrested his landlord, who is now facing charges of attempted murder.
Let's take a live look right now at the nation's capital. Washington tonight under pressure to hold the Saudi government accountable in the case of the missing Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In an interview with the Associated Press, President Trump criticized the condemnation of Saudi Arabia and said, quote, I think we have to find out what happened first. Here we go again with, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. But police were finally able to search the Saudi consulate in Turkey and say they have found evidence that Khashoggi was killed there. He was last seen entering the consulate 2 weeks ago. President Trump says Saudi Arabia's crown prince both deny any knowledge of what happened to him.
The president and I and our administration are going to continue to call for answers to see that those responsible are held to account.
CBS News has learned the Saudis are preparing a plan where they will say Khashoggi's death was the result of an interrogation gone wrong.
Well, it's a sign of the times in San Francisco. Blighted buildings that linger for too long. KPIX5's Joe Vasquez reports that city leaders are pushing for a speedier recovery.
San Francisco's economy continues to thrive, but the city also continues to struggle with the problem of vacant storefronts. It's not just that Amazon has changed shopping habits or that rising rents have forced some mom-and-pop stores out of business.
It makes it very difficult for retailers.
Daniel Bergerac of the Castro Merchants Association says what makes it even more difficult is that storefronts stay empty, sometimes for years at a time. That level of blight can make it harder for all the neighboring businesses. And Bergerac says landlords don't seem to feel any pressure to rent the storefronts back out.
The laws of supply and demand work everywhere except for San Francisco retail space. There's nothing that is there to push them into renting the spaces.
The city does fine some landlords of vacant storefronts, just under $700 a year, but there are loopholes. For example, if they put a for sale or rent sign out front, they don't have to pay the fine. That has some property owners deciding to just wait for another tenant who is willing to pay a higher rent.
As a landlord, unless they really nail me, I'm probably going to ride it out. Because the risks of giving somebody a 5 or 10 year lease and not having it work out could be a lot greater for me.
You're part of our neighborhood. You're part of the vitality of that commercial corridor.
Supervisor Sandra Feuer says she is now working on legislation that would increase that fine and also put other kinds of pressure on landlords to get vacant storefronts back on the market more quickly.
Because you have an empty storefront, you're adding to blight. I see that as being fairly selfish, quite frankly, and actually I think it's time we crack down on it.
Supervisor Feuer says she will introduce that legislation by the end of the year. On the Night Beat, I'm Joe Vasquez.